The Literary Corner, Black Writers of the World, a series of analyses and interpretations of Black world literature. Today, the conclusion to the Literary Corner with Dr. Mildred Hill of the University of Florida at Gainesville. Dr. Hill is assistant dean in the graduate school there, and with an associate professorship in the English department and a joint appointment in the Center for African Studies, Professor Hill has become an expert on the parallels between African and African-American literature. She's written two important works, including Common Features in African and African-American Folklore and Stylistic Features in African Literature. And thus, as a proper conclusion to the Literary Corner, we sum up and revisit all of African and African-American literature by looking at the parallels that exist among all Black writings of the world. Here's Dr. Mildred Hill with a discussion on the parallels in African and African-American literature.
My interest in this subject grew out of my concern that certainly it seemed that in reading both African and African-American literature, there were some common patterns or some features that existed in these writings which did not exist in the traditional American and English writings that I had been reading all through my career. And I consequently thought that if that was true, then I wanted to develop this. When I started out, I discovered that there were two major categories that you could divide it into, and those would be thematic features as well as stylistic or formal features. In working on it, so far, I have only developed in some detail the thematic areas, although at this point I am working on some of the formal features, and particularly when I begin to talk about the thematic features in folklore, you almost inevitably come around to discussing the formal features at the same time. Under the heading of the thematic features, I developed four major areas, and those would be ritualistic features, folklore and religion, the family, and another heading that I entitle The African's Confrontation with the West. Now, under the heading of rituals, I speak of a group of interrelated activities such as music, dance, art, sports, and food, and I headed those as one group. Actually, I dealt with each one separately, but they are so interrelated that you can't talk about one without talking about all of them. Mm-hmm. And then there, under the heading of folklore and religion, I talked about folk beliefs as well as the Africans influenced by Christianity and Islamic religions. These overlapped in some ways. It is very difficult to distinguish folk beliefs in African and African-American folk religion because they in many ways overlap. Then the third category would be that of the family, and it is the features are particularly common and seem to appear quite obvious in the role of the woman in both African-American literature and African literature, and particularly that of the grandmother as the preserver of the extended family in African life. The fourth category, the African's confrontation with the West, I have subheaded as first would be education, the issue of education, then the African's migration to from the rural area to the city, and third would be his confrontation with the white man, what happens to him as he meets and how does he characterize and identify and relate to the white. And then fourth would be the issue of being a writer. And under that heading, we deal with topics such as identity, the language of the writer, the audience that the writer will speak to, and also his role as a writer, the whole issue of whether a writer should be able to declare himself a writer or a Black writer.
Now, just recount those four headings, again, the major headings.
The major headings are the ritual features that exist in the literature, And under that ritual would be music, dance, sports, food, and art. And then folk beliefs and religion. And then third would be the family unit. And then fourth would be the Africans' confrontation with the West.
Okay, you mentioned two major works, and you use those two major works to find the parallels under those four headings.
All right. In many instances, you will probably need to use other works. I do have bibliographies with these particular works in which I take each one of the headings and give bibliographies. But in teaching, I have used the two works as primary ones, and those would be Langston Hughes' Not Without Laughter and also Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart. Now, interestingly enough, Langston Hughes' book is almost divided up according to that. He has chapters called Folk Beliefs. He has chapters such as the pool hall. He has a chapter on dance. He has a chapter on music. He has a chapter in which there is the confrontation with the white man. He has a chapter on education and so on. So if you look at the way the book is organized, you will even see some of the various points that I have done. The same is true in Achebe. His book is not divided quite in the same way, but he does deal with practically all of these topics or headings that I have mentioned. One of the interesting points about it, particularly if you want to understand that ritual drama that I spoke of, if you read the section in there where he talks about the Yam Festival, then you will see that interrelatedness. And one of the important aspects of understanding this drama is that it does say a great deal, I think, about the African's way of looking at the world and his world, the African worldview that I tend to think of. In it, there is no separation between the sacred and the secular, and that's very obvious because the writer points out, Achebe points out in this festival, that it is both religious as well as secular, and that the people do dancing, they have sports or wrestling, they have eating, and you have all of these interrelated activities. Now, why this particular chapter is quite important, because it does say a great deal about what I think is African creativity. It gives us a very good clue to how our creativity is promoted and enhanced. It involves a great deal of communal participation, particularly with the audience. And what we do get here, many people will say that African people are not competitive enough. But if you begin to look at this process, you will see that there is a great deal of competition. But the competition is not in terms of achieving a product, but it is in the process itself. And with this audience participation, you get the audience encouraging and responding. And of course, you see this in the call response pattern. And if you've listened to any of Aretha Franklin's records, or you've listened or read any of the works, or just be in a black church where the minister and the people are responding to each other, you'll see how this creativity is enhanced. Here, when you get the response from the people, then the leader or the artist is then encouraged to even perform better and better, and he continues to move, and he brings the audience along with him so that at the peak of the experience, there's a kind of wholeness or oneness with the audience and the performer. And not only the audience and the performer, but all the instruments, everything becomes a part of it. I guess the best example would be how the piano participates in with the audience. It can also act as a call-response participant along with the performer.
Now, these same characteristics are found in African life.
That's right. They're found in African life. This is why the literature of African people is so closely related to their lives. I suppose I should have said that one of the reasons I began interest in this had to do with, first, the establishment of the African aesthetic or this notion of creativity, but it also had something to do with my trying to understand whether there were common features existing among all African people. And I had read works by people such as Melville Herskovitz, who talked about the myth of the Negro past. And I had observed African people, and I saw that. And when I speak of African people, I am talking about African Americans as well as African people elsewhere. I certainly observed features that were not characteristic of features of other groups in Western society or the majority society. And I tried to determine what would be the origin of them, or what, if anything, were there certain characteristics that possibly African people had in common. And I knew that I could not visit all of the African countries where becoming anthropologists, maybe as Herskovitz or even as Du Bois in his social writings and so forth, and move around and visit all of these areas. But I thought if I would begin with the literature by these people who in some ways had been supposed to have been assimilated into a Western society, that certainly if these features still existed in their literature, then it still must be a part of their culture. And then I would test the ideas that I found in the literature against what I could observe in the culture. So consequently, I can also ask my students to do the same thing in terms of whether you would agree that these characteristics are common features. And although I limited the research to mainly African literature and African American literature, I would think that if you wanted to use the literature of the Caribbean or the Francophone or the Negritude poets, certainly they've said they have been influenced. But I think if you would use their literature, you would see the same type of issues and concerns expressed in their works also.
You've been listening to the conclusion to the Literary Corner, Black Writers of the World, a series of analyses and interpretations of Black world literature. You've heard a discussion on the parallels between African and African-American literature with an expert in that area, Dr. Mildred Hill of the University of Florida at Gainesville. I'd like to express gratitude to all those responsible for the Literary Corner, including our regular analysts, Professors Daniel Kunene, Sarah Fabio, and Idris Mockwood, all from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Also, I'd like to express my appreciation to the program's developer, Professor Kwadwo Anokwa of the University of Ghana at Accra, and also to the program's co-host, Professor Pam Johnson of the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Technical assistance provided by Bob Cham. I've been your producer and director, Brooks Robinson. The Literary Corner was made possible by funds from WHA Radio, Madison, Wisconsin, a service of the University of Wisconsin Extension.